featuring Dr. Michael Ventris and meteorologist Sean Pratt and your host, Colin Dulzinski.
Hey guys, welcome back. Week four is here. We got here. Our first pandemic issue. So we are coming at you to discuss the impact of Tennessee Titans COVID thing. I want to talk about that a little bit and how fantasy leagues are handling that. We have some weather in Tampa Bay and some weather in Chicago. So Mike, Sean, you know, I'm your host, Colin Golzinski, Dr. Michael Ventris, Sean Bratton, our on-staff meteorologist. How you guys doing?
Good, good. Welcome to the week four. Sean, before Sean says something here, I want to ask you a question.
Okay, Mike, I'm listening.
What's your favorite type of fish?
What's my favorite type of fish? I don't know whether to be facetious here or answer you honestly.
Honestly, here we go.
Let's say a tuna fish.
Okay. Do you want to know what mine is?
A loser fish.
Oh, wow, bro. No, come on, man. I'm going to say my favorite fish is a fluke because it's a goddamn fluke that we're both 0-3 in our league of record, right, and this is going to change.
But it doesn't matter because the commissioner, myself, is 3-0. I took down both of you already. I'm in third place. I'm playing for first place this week, undefeated. I'm okay with this. This isn't a fluke. This is consistency from me.
Sometimes
I don't buy into it.
Sometimes you just need to divert your attention to other leagues, which is what I'm in the process of doing right now.
So you're diversifying your portfolio is what you're saying.
I am doing some heavily diversifying my portfolio elsewhere.
Sounds like you're raising the white flag to me, buddy.
Well, you know, like, hey, you try, right? And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But hey, where you know you're going to get your gains and we know you're going to, you know, have a better chance of being a winner, that's where you got to invest your time and energy.
This is kind of an inside thing, but for Sean and Mike, all I'm going to say, karma's a bitch. And the fantasy gods have blessed my patience with you two this year with a 3-0 start. And that is all I need to say.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. Hopefully there's not any more forecasted Titan-Pittsburgh-type games this year that are going to influence fantasy rosters, right, Colin?
No, yeah, I hope not. But, you know, I'm very curious in questions, comments, maybe tweet at us. If you're a commissioner in a league or your leagues, how are you handling if people aren't going on the COVID IR spot? In our league of record, I added an extra bench spot to allow if you had a PPD person on the postponement to fill that roster for the week, and then I'll remove that spot. So I'm going to be an active commissioner and allow for some play in there. But love to hear how your leagues are handling it. You know, it really removes some of the DFS players. What do you guys think about what I sent out today about that? Did you like that move? Adding the bench spot?
Yeah, I think it's a good move. I mean, quite honestly, I'm not as invested because I don't have any Tennessee Titan or Pittsburgh players. I don't really have any stock in either of those teams. So for me, as of right now, it's a null issue, but we'll see what happens.
Right. I mean, setting precedent, if it comes up with a player, I think it's at least a more fair way to handle it.
Yeah, I ended up dropping both my Tennessee players because I wanted the roster space and they weren't worth keeping. But now that you implemented that rule, I'm like, probably should have kept them.
Apologies for not being communicating, you know, the rules. This came from a fellow league member. He's also a commissioner in another league. I thought it was a brilliant idea that I'm in with him. Shout out to Luke. So, well, why we're here, we're talking about weather, right? We do have some impacts this week. We have two that we're going to discuss. Go ahead, Sean. Yeah, go ahead. No, go ahead.
I was just going to pick up where you left off. That we have, a couple games to be concerned about. I also think, Colin, should we make a shout out to somebody speaking of weather?
Yeah. Oh, great. Want to shout out that we have an interview coming up with the Carolina Weather Company, right? Is this where you're going, Sean?
Yeah, that's it, man.
Great. Okay. Because I was like, I could shout out a bunch of people. But Carolina Weather Company reached out to us. We're very grateful. It is awesome to get known. And I believe October 14th on a Wednesday, Sean and Mike will be guests to discuss our product and how we view weather as our meteorologists for our company. So tune in to, you know, Carolina Weather Group.
Yeah, we're super excited to go on. This is a group that really tries to emphasize impacts due to weather. You know, we got in contact with them, and so we're going to be talking with them about how we use our product and why it's valuable. Yeah, it'll be a super interesting conversation.
When you say impacts, they talk about a lot of range of impacts, not just sporting events and everything. So it'll be a good conversation. So excited. And Mike is very quiet today. I don't know what to do. Just nodding.
No, I'm just, yo, Sean's laying the bricks down and you're just catching them. So it's good. You guys are crushing.
Is that another
bricks.
Mike-ism, by the way? Laying
that
down
is.
Bricks and then catching them?
Yeah. Well.
Did that really mess that up?
I did. Yeah. Yeah, there's laying the bricks for the foundation, and there's also throwing passes. I'm catching what he's throwing. Different, you know. If anyone has ever seen the movie Boondock Saints, there's the old bartender who always screws up the little proverbs. Mike has this amazing ability to blend idioms or statements together, and it's hilarious. Put a nail in the coffin,
kind of
Mike.
Kind of my thing. Nail in the coffin, baby. Here we go.
So I brought up the weather impact table on the screen. So we're showing the game in Indy, Chicago with some wind. And the Tampa game, this is actively updating live. If you saw it earlier today, it was a caution. It could come back. Mike or Sean, you want to talk about that? And I'll bring up the preset map for the Tampa game first.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Go ahead, Mike.
I'll just mention that the rain in Tampa Bay Sunday afternoon is a little finicky in the models, and that's because there's a new tropical depression that spawned over the Western Caribbean today, Tropical Depression number 25, and this is likely to become Tropical Storm Gamma. And the models have this storm interacting with some kind of frontal feature that's kind of draped across Florida out over the Western Atlantic. And, each run, the model's bringing, you know, potentially showing more rain or takes away some of the rain. And it's having a hard time with resolving the timing of rain. It's going to rain in Florida. Probably, right now the most. Yeah.
So I have the map at 12Z, but what time is the game at?
18Z.
18Z. Let me move it again ahead for the. Okay. So yeah, you can see that we're back to the green and it was earlier at 12Z. So go ahead.
Right.
I just wanted to make sure I was at the.
Yeah. That's just showing that the rain is in the model showing it's being predicted to occur before the game time.
Right.
So. Yeah. And so, I mean, we've talked about this before many of times on this podcast, especially this time of year. We have convective based precipitation and we're just not able to forecast that as easy as let's say a synoptic feature, which is actually occurring over Chicago. Over Chicago, we have a weak area of low pressure. And right now you see that's where our current caution is. But right now we're very borderline with rain there. I anticipate that this area of low pressure and the pre-ship shield associated with that will move out of the area by game time. But we will have some winds funneling in, and that's where our concern comes in, because we could have some winds going 15 miles an hour or higher. So we'll be keeping an eye on that one too.
Yeah, it looks like the winds on this particular map that we're showing on the Twitch stream, it's a little focused or a little elevator amplified on the western side of Lake Michigan there. So there's some mesoscale things happening right with the lake dynamics in that northerly wind, and it's funneling that wind right over across the location of Soldier Field.
And I'm gonna assume mesoscale for the listeners is small or like,
yeah,
like pinpoint. Not so macro scale.
That's right.
Okay.
You're learning. Yeah, you were learning from.
Okay.
So. Yeah. And this is a typical feature we see near water, right? Especially in Chicago. People think that Chicago is called the Windy City because it's really windy there, which it is, but it's actually because of politics. It's also incredibly windy. And so Soldier Field is right on the lake. It's right on Lake Michigan. So, and Mike and I were talking about this actually previously about, hey, why is wind travel faster over water than it does land? And this is, you know, something that maybe people don't think about, but the reason is that there's less friction over water. So the air is able to move easier across the water as opposed to land. So this gives it a little bit of an easier, the wind has a little bit of an easier time having an impact near the lake.
Yeah, it's kind of why we see a lot of, stronger winds currently predicted over the Gulf of Mexico. And we're seeing those higher amplitude winds over the water predominantly, not over land. It's the same thing down there. And that's, you know, those winds down in the Gulf of Mexico, that's tied to that developing tropical system that we mentioned earlier.
Yeah. I mean, and if we kind of navigate back down south here with that tropical disturbance, again, something we were talking about is, you know, when we talk about fields, you know, the stadium, there's some important things that we need to consider. One is the orientation of the stadium when we want to talk about winds. But the other one is what is the field of the stadium? What is it constructed of? Is it AstroTurf? Is it grass? Because that could have an impact. And if we get some heavy rain here, even for a short period of time, it can make things super messy for the players.
Which is important because, you know, even having a quarterback in Tampa now that's used to harsh weather, the field at Foxborough is, as we've learned today, artificial turf. No, the term turf actually means grass. We did some research. And Tampa's natural grass. So, you know, yeah. It could play an impact. We're not saying that we're experts on sod or grass or artificial turf. But if anyone remembers the game last year, it was the Washington football team, old Redskins, and I forgot who they were playing. But the rain.
49ers.
The 49ers. That field turned into a swamp. So
it was a mud pit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just not as well irrigated. The water sits on the field. It becomes saturated. Players have a tougher time getting a footing. So, you know, typically when we see weather impacts, we like to see them for the duration of the game. But when we have a field made of grass or constructed of grass, and we do get some heavy downpours, which we can get with this convective-based precipitation, that can play a factor with footing for the players. So we'll see. Well, it's something definitely we're going to be keeping an eye on for the next couple of days.
So again,
yeah, at the current time frame, I was just going to quickly say, at the current time frame, we don't expect weather for the duration of both of these games. So that limits the impacts.
Exactly. So right now, actually, we're forecasting. Colin, do you want to go to our blog page maybe quickly here to kind of summarize some of the things that we were talking about?
Sure.
As far as weather.
Oh, sorry.
No problem.
For those people listening, if you're actually listening to the podcast after we shoot here, if you ever want to see what we're doing, please tune into our stream on Twitch, twitch.tv/FFweatherguys.
Or we put it on YouTube after, or it's available on Twitch to rewatch, I believe. I'm learning the Twitch program, but, you know, we have two viewers, so I appreciate you guys. Hope you're getting some information. Ask us questions live. You know, I'll try to incorporate that with Sean and Mike. They're not going to see the questions, but I will, you know. And if you – I may just make up stuff like, why does Mike suck at fantasy football? You know, that was from viewer number, you know, Astra627. So
I would have to say that due to bad commissioning rules in keeper leagues, that's probably one of the main reasons. So
yeah.
Oh, boy. Colin, navigate down to weather summary and impacts.
There you go, Sean. Keep it moving along, baby.
Keep it moving. Okay, weather summary and impacts, week four forecast.
So, yeah, typically what we do here is we just provide an overview of some of the weather to expect, and then we highlight some of the games that we're monitoring. There has not been a game yet that we are super, super concerned about, and that still remains going into this week. But if you want to know, hey, what are some of the weather conditions for games we're keeping an eye out for? One, again, is Soldier Field. We don't expect player impacts. Winds could be a factor. There may be some precipitation that hangs in the area, but we don't expect that for the duration of the game. And, you know, there'll be times the winds pick up, but again, we don't think that they're going to be incredibly impactful for all four quarters.
Hey, Sean, before we get into the further analysis here, I love this picture. Take a look at that stadium.
I know.
Look at if we have a northerly wind, there is like an opening right on the north side of that stadium, which is, I wonder if there, you know, northerly winds may play more of a pivotal role there. It's interesting.
Good. So that's a super interesting question too, right, to answer. Hey,
I was showing on this map, the wind at the mesoscale is coming due north, and then you bring up the picture of the stadium and boom. So, you know, It'll be interesting.
And those are the things that are very specific and unique to each stadium. That's not every stadium, again, has the same kind of turf, has the same structure. So those are things that we try to look at.
And just kind of brainstorming on that with the northerly wind, for kickers, you know, we typically see kickers have a hard time in windy games, especially if the wind's moving, you know, sideways, like from left to, you know.
Yeah, cross field.
Cross field, there you go, rather than parallel to the field location. So the kickers actually might not struggle as bad with the wind parallel to the actual field rather than perpendicular. Yeah.
And then we got Raymond James Stadium. Yep. We got the Tampa Bay Bucks. Winds are probably actually going to be lower than this. We don't expect winds to really be a factor at Tampa Bay at all, but the precipitation from T-storms, you know, thunderstorms, is going to be something we're going to need to monitor, and we'll update you on Sunday. But again, nothing that we want to say that will have a major impact on your starting lineup for this week.
So this is the first time that I kind of mentioned thunderstorms. We were only talking precip. Is there a chance for lightning or any delays that you guys see, or is it still hard to tell with, as you would say, the convection system? I don't know if I said that right.
Yeah, I mean, rain in Florida, you know, typically Tampa, especially, is the lightning capital of the world, right? So whenever you get these unsettled...
Oh, is that why they're the Tampa Lightning hockey team?
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Oh, man.
So, anyway, we get a lot of these unsettled patterns for Florida, especially in Tampa. There is a chance for lightning, you know, thunderstorms, and we typically see when there is lightning in the vicinity of a stadium, the game actually goes on delay. So typically that will result, if it does rain, then it won't result in any impacts because of lightning delay.
And that's why I asked the question, because we were talking precip but not lightning. So it's just good to know the difference. But you're right, there's always chances with that, right?
But then remember, if it does get really saturated, like for instance, if there is a convective system that comes through, dumps a bunch of rain, it's going to be interesting to see, hey, are players going to have a tough job getting their footing on the field if it's incredibly wet? Are they going to have trouble maneuvering while they're playing? So I don't know. It's something to think about.
I do want to mention, Sean, you know, this is the second time I've seen these graphics, and I like the blog. Is this something that you and Nick have been working on in the background? Nick's our programmer, who's the fourth weather guy. And these are awesome little like cue card graphics. I like them.
Oh yeah, no, these, yeah. Yeah, this is something just quick. What we wanted to do is, you know, the weather table is great. That's a great snapshot. But we also wanted to be like, hey, if that weather is going to be impactful, we want to know what players are going to be impactful. And right now, our weather table doesn't provide any player specific information. So that's where these kind of come in. It's just a good kind of summary card for what to expect.
And the pictures are great. So, you know, to recap, stay tuned. You know, as all fall weather, as you guys have taught me, very unpredictable right now.
Go ahead. Early fall. Early fall.
Oh, okay. Again, always being corrected. Scientists that these two gentlemen are, accuracy, believe it or not, in their field is very important. And I say that honestly, you know. So I lost my train of thought, you know. Well, whatever, Mike, you know, early fall.
You were just, yep.
Yeah, so, right, got it back. You know, just stay tuned. Watch our weather table. You know, it is updating live. And then you can go to the blog and our other products to look at the weather maps. Or the weather, what are we calling those cards? Cue cards? I'm going to call them cue cards.
The weather blog.
Weather blog.
Weather blog.
Yeah.
So
that's where we'll have those graphics.
Anyways, what do we move on to next? I mean, we
got some DFS, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to think, yeah, maybe some DFS talk. We're, for our viewers and listeners, you know, we have tried to make our forecasts and our weather products as usable for all the different types of leagues. We would consider ourselves mild experts in the redraft or yearly leagues, keeper leagues, but DFS is kind of new to us. So we're playing a DFS league with the three of us to get our handle on it. It's a learning curve, you know, and how weather impacts those types of players. So this week is our week four of it. And why don't you go, Mike? You had a little quiz for us, and I'll start with you. Who's your pass catcher of the week based on value?
Oh, so my pass catcher of the week is actually someone who I probably wouldn't have picked besides recently because of injuries that are plaguing the Las Vegas Raiders. I'm going with Hunter Renfrow. And he's playing a tough matchup against Buffalo. And if you guys hear a dog barking in the background,
uh-oh, we losing really Mike?
Bad. We're losing Mike.
It's off here. So Hunter Renfrow is going up against a tough matchup against Buffalo. And, you know, at first I thought about this, and most people are probably going to want to play Darren Waller. You know, the Buffalo has been giving up to the tight end. But you know what? Renfrow is going into the slot here. And we typically see Buffalo struggle with pass catchers in the slot. And at a DraftKings price of $4,600, you know that Renfrow is probably going to get anywhere from 8 to 10 targets. And I think Tre'Darius White is actually going to shadow Darren Waller here, Darren Waller in this game. So I think he's a good, solid play this week with upside and target volume. And he's going to be getting fed the ball quite often. And he's coming off a big week last week.
Wow. Okay. How much did you pay for him in DraftKings?
$4,600. And that's and I wanted to get in some of the top, allowing me to get in guys like Tyler Lockett and Tyler Boyd. Actually, I'm playing both the Tylers this week, in their juicy matchups. So a low price guy like that can help me get those studs.
Yeah, and quite frankly, Mike, that was going to be my guy as well. Hunter Renfrow. That's somebody I was targeting. You know, when you first look at Buffalo in the matchup, you say, you know, hey, Buffalo right now is synonymous with a good defense, solid defense. Is that somebody you really want to go, especially, you know, if you're missing some other key wideouts on the Las Vegas side? But I'm high on him as well. He's a proven pass catcher. He's really shifty, a really dynamic receiver, and I think he could play a really big role against Buffalo. And Buffalo gave up a ton of points. Cooper Kupp, to an extent, Robert Woods were successful last week.
Yeah.
The Rams were a little successful versus Buffalo Bills last week. So, you know, Las Vegas can do it. And I think Hunter Renfrow for $4,600 is a good pickup.
Well, I went a little bit more money, but same game, different side of the ball, different side of the team. I went John Brown for $5,100. I think Josh Allen is doing a great job spreading the football. Brown has practiced back-to-back days. His injury risk is low. I think the upside on him, you know, the week one, I think it was that he had a breakout week. I think he had two touchdowns. I don't know if the stats are right. I'm trying to pull them up. But, you know, to me, I'm slowly, yeah, it was, okay, well, back-to-back weeks. It was, he had a huge game first week and a pretty big game. He's averaging about 70 yards a game and a touchdown, about five looks. So, you know, with Josh Allen being a stud that he's looking to be, I think for $5,100, you know, John Brown is not a bad pick in this game against the Las Vegas Raiders. It's weird saying Las Vegas Raiders.
Yeah. And right now he's been the great short, you know, passage guy for Josh Allen. He's been, to be honest, I was not high on Diggs going into the season. Mm. I was a little skeptical of the Buffalo Bills offense. John Brown is there as well. He's usually, you know, he's now turned in a little bit more of the deeper threat. He's getting some deep targets, but Stephon Diggs has really fit in well with this offense. He's getting a lot of pass volume. He's turning into Josh Allen's best friend. And he, at the very least, is definitely going to see some targets, possible touchdown upside.
Well, that's good that you fight the upside of Diggs, but I was talking about Brown.
Well, you guys love all the wide receivers, right? Even Cole Beasley.
No, I know. I almost went with Cole Beasley. He's like one of the most waiver wire pickups.
Yeah, I thought about it all about Diggs. I'm like, the problem is he's capped on TD upside, right? You know he's going to get a lot of volume, so in PPR he might be a really good play, full PPR. Yeah.
So I don't want to completely copy what Mike's pick. So I'm going to throw one out there as well.
Great.
And this is kind of a dart throw, but I'm getting a little bit hotter on Joe Burrow, quarterback for the Cincinnati Bengals. He has been improving. He's settling into the offense. He's becoming mobile. He's making good decisions. He's still going to have his rookie mistakes, but I'm really impressed with what he's been able to do with the ball. You know, AJ Green has not been performing maybe as well as some people predicted, but he's also diverting a lot of the attention from some of the top corners off of like Tyler Boyd, T. Higgins, John Ross, like people like that. Drew Sample, the tight end for the Cincinnati Bengals, and he's getting work. He's passing the ball around, and he is doing really well. And he's playing Jacksonville, and Ryan Fitzpatrick did pretty well. Not I mean, he did pretty well against Jacksonville. So I'm confident in Joe Burrow this week.
Yeah, I mean, back to back 300 yard games. You know, 5 touchdowns in the last 2 games, 0 interceptions. I mean, you got to see that he is fit. You know, he's filling in. He's starting to fit in. I mean, and filling in the shoes that
you take a
quarterback at that pick. You want, you know, he's got to, you know, produce.
I'm a little salty with top quarterback first pick draft quarterbacks after Sam Darnold, because I just keep thinking to myself, what if Sam Darnold was on this team, or what if Burrow was on the Jets, and would he be as good as he is right now? Or
is Adam Gase the coach?
Yeah, that's what it comes down to, right? I get so salty thinking that Joe Burrow is.
But yeah. I don't think it's Sam Darnold. I mean, look how mobile Sam Darnold. He ran for what, a 40, 50 yard touchdown, 45 yard touchdown?
Yeah.
He can play. He's a good QB. It's the coaching staff that's not taking advantage of his talents. And an Adam Gase led offense on that team, mistake the prone ball, just not coming up with the plays to really allow Sam Darnold to break out. He's capped. He's a capped player right now.
Yeah. I think my fantasy season in our league of record is going to be analogous to the New York Jets this year. I just have a gut feeling.
Yeah.
I'm going 0-16 like the Jets are, because we're in this together.
Just like
your favorite team, Mike.
My I'm sorry?
Just like your favorite team, the Jets.
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm saying. Crabby. That's my name is Trap.
The Giants aren't doing much better, so I'm kind of analogous to them. So the Giants have, but they got the Rams. So who knows?
Who knows?
They got the Rams
so,
this week.
Just circling back, you know, again, follow us. I mean, are we done with the DFS chat banter?
We got it. Yeah, yeah. We're continuing to learn here on that.
Yeah. So just circling back for table, we'll be updating live, you know, follow us at FF Weather Guys on Twitter, and we will update anything that changes in the weather with the Tampa Bay game. Again, could be rain that we're concerned about, especially that natural field. Don't know how that could impact the players, and then the wind coming down the north on Soldier Field in Chicago. So as always, it's a pleasure to discuss football and weather with you two fine gentlemen. And good luck this week.
Yeah, good luck, everyone out there. We'll keep you updated this week on any games that, you know, the Tampa and Chicago specifically. And if those become more of a concern, you'll definitely hear it from us. But hope everyone has a good week.
And keep an eye on the blog side, because Doc V's week 4 lineup will be posted by tomorrow.
Thanks, Mike.